Well, I don't have a joke for you today. But I do have a riddle. Okay, and the riddle goes like this. What is the one thing that we already have plenty of, but we're always trying to get more of, and yet at the same time, we're very anxious and eager to give away? Yeah, you may not agree with the answer, but the answer is power. Power is something that we always cherish. Being in control is something that we always cherish. And so, for example, I know several people that would just as soon pop themselves in a car and drive 10, 12, 14 hours or more to get to someplace rather than book an airline ticket. And it has nothing to do with money. It all has to do with being in control, because they feel that when they step into an airplane and they strap themselves in the seat, they have surrendered all control. And so despite all of the statistics that say airline travel far and away is much, much safer than taking a long road trip, they like that feeling of being behind the wheel. It gives them a feeling of being in control. And one of the most difficult feelings that we ever feel is what goes on when we experience a loss of control in our life or a loss of control over something. And so a tornado comes along and completely annihilates somebody's home. And just this past week, with all of the rain we've had, close to 6 inches, you know, people were literally flooded out of their homes. And you might say, well, that's not a loss of power. That's an actual loss of something. Yeah, but when it occurred, it created that feeling of instability for the people that suffered those tragedies. And maybe to better illustrate the point, a little over a week ago, a young lady got into an Uber car with some friends, only to have somebody plow into the car and take her life. And if you watched on the news, at one point they showed her mom, who just made the statement, "I don't know what I'm going to do." And again, it just indicates your whole life being turned upside down, topsy-turvy, and a complete or near complete lack of control. And bringing it closer to home, maybe you've had the experience of your boss coming up to you and saying, "I'm sorry, but we're letting you go." Or the experience of walking out of your doctor's office after having received some really, really not good news. Or maybe the experience of somebody that you regarded as your life partner coming to you and saying, "You know what? I'm sorry, but we're done, and I'm leaving." But maybe it's none of these things. Maybe instead, it's everything. You know, maybe you have found yourself, you know, just caught in that quagmire of the demands of work and the demands of family, and that feeling that absolutely everybody and everything is just pulling and tugging on you constantly, and you just so desperately need to stop and catch your breath. Because you're feeling that, good Lord, there's not even enough time to live my life. If you've ever experienced any of these things I'm talking about or similar things, then you understand on some level a feeling of helplessness that can set in. And it's a feeling that is really uncomfortable. It's a feeling that can be cold and dark in so many ways. Many years ago, when my second grandchild, my grandson, was being born, and if I've shared the story with you before, I apologize, but it's really on topic today. He had the nerve to come into the world a half an ounce short of 11 pounds. And the labor took all night long, and it was exhausting as could possibly be for my poor daughter. And the birth itself, because of his size, was grueling and traumatic. And when at long last he made his way into the world, he was set on a table gasping and grasping for air. And they whisked him off quickly into the nursery to begin to attend to him. And meanwhile, my daughter was having a really difficult time of delivering the placenta and was in real danger of bleeding out. And I remember at that time, because I was an incredible control freak, even more than I am now, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I should go to the nursery or if I should be in the room with my daughter, and I just leaned up against the hospital wall, sobbing and offering a silent prayer. Help. Well, as it turns out, the hospital staff, the midwife, everybody was terrific. Everybody did their job and they performed miracles. And the story had a happy ending. And Matt is now a strapping senior in high school, ready to go off to college later this year. But as painful as that whole experience was, and I still get a queasy feeling in my tummy when I'm telling you, it was something that was relatively short-lived. And so it's of a whole different nature than the type of thing that I'm talking about when you're experiencing almost on a daily basis that feeling of helplessness in your own life. You know, when you just have that constant tension that is eating away with you because you don't feel like you're in control. You know, it's that feeling that from the time you set your feet on the floor in the morning until you collapse in bed at night, all you feel like your life consists of is putting out fires or putting your finger in the dikes to try to control a flood. And it's a life that really isn't a life after all. And when you're caught in this kind of a quagmire, at some point, maybe you just stop and you ask yourself, how did this happen? When did I become powerless? When did I lose control? Because it wasn't always like this. You know, there was a time when I was a child and I was pretty much living in the moment. And I was in control. And I think that's true of most children, unless it's a sad experience of being in a real hostile environment. And even though you're incredibly 100% dependent upon your parents or somebody nurturing you and taking care of you and feeding and clothing you for your survival, there's an element to your life in which everything is real and you're really very much in control. So as we're growing up, the world tells us, it sends us a very clear message. You have to become responsible. And then the world is all too eager to define for us what becoming responsible means. And for the most part, it means a lot of conformity, a lot of getting on board, a lot of going along, a lot of lockstepping, and a lot of buying into practically everything that the world is selling. And sadly, unfortunately, it often does not include a whole lot of time and guidance to do some independent thinking. And even sadder, it often does not include placing an emphasis on feeling and placing an emphasis on loving. And so it's really a crazy thing because as we grow up and we grow in responsibility, there's a real irony involved because it often includes a greater separation between ourselves and that one power, that one source. And so in growing up and becoming responsible, in a very profound way, we often grow to become irresponsible. For all of us, at least to a certain extent, this means that we are living our life in kind of a paradox because we always want more power, we always want more control, but we're always willing to give it away. And I opened very early with that riddle. You know, what do you have plenty of? And what are you always striving to get more of? And what are you always eager to give away? And you might still think I'm crazy, but the answer is still power. And I say this because to the extent that you have created a separation between yourself and God and a dismissal of who you are at your core, at your essence, that Christ's light, it is to that extent that you have chosen to give away your power. Sometimes people will come to me to discuss problems and do some spiritual counseling. And oftentimes they're caught in this type of a quagmire and they really don't see a way out. You know, they don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. And very often I'll ask a question, you know, tell me where your prayer life is right now. And most of the time I get an answer, you know, things have just been so crazy, so insane, so preoccupied that I'm not doing any praying. We don't understand that, you know, in doing that or not doing that, we are sacrificing, we are giving away what we most so desperately need at that time, some element of reality and control in our lives. We do this all of the time. You know, you turn on the news for 5 minutes and you could just see what a crazy, insane world we live in so many respects. And we hear about all of the silly shootings and the wasteful killings that go on. And yet how many of us have the tendency to just respond to that with a sense of apathy and don't even show up minimally to vote, to try to exercise some control over our lives? You know, and so often we're actually willing to trade our democracy for what we hope will be a sense of somebody taking charge and somebody taking care of us. Where Susan and I live, we're part of a homeowners association. And a couple of years ago, I decided I wanted to run for the board of directors. And 90% of the people that I shared this with me had a response similar to, "Are you crazy? Are you nuts? Are you insane? Why in the world would you want to get involved with all of that?" It's a very commonly held attitude. And then my experience on the board, well, there's an overwhelming consensus in the subdivision where we live that the village is drastically overcharging us for things like water and garbage. And they're using that money that they collect from our subdivision to subsidize other parts of the community. And yet, just last month, when there was a mayoral election, the board of directors really tried desperately to tiptoe through the whole situation so as to not give an appearance of having a bias over one candidate from another. And I just said to my fellow board members, "What are you doing? You have power. Why are you giving it away? Why aren't we exercising this, you know, and really applying some real pressure?" We're eager to give our power away. In the Hebrew scriptures, Samson is eager to give his power away in order to try to gain and maintain favor with Delilah. Every time we experience or witness unkindness and we bite our tongues, we are giving our power away. We are giving our power away every time we show up out of integrity. We are giving our power away when we forget the source of our power. And we are giving our power away anytime we put on a mask or develop a persona in the hopes of pleasing somebody. and we're giving our power away every time we play small in the hopes of gaining safety or acceptance from somebody. Power, like all of the 12 powers outlined by Charles Fillmore, is a spiritual muscle. And like any muscle, if you don't use it, you lose it. So if you've not been flexing your spiritual power of power, is it any wonder that you're experiencing some dissonance and disruption and lack of control over what is going on in your life? This is something that's not coincidental. You remember the Ever-Ready battery commercials? And if you do, you know, still going. I don't know about the rest of you, but I swear I watched it on television, and I really would just like to get up and smack the smithereens out of that stupid Ever-Ready bunny. It comes out, what can I tell you? But let me share something with you. You have your own battery. And with that battery, you can far surpass anything that that stupid Ever-Ready bunny could do. Because your battery is nothing less than your divine essence. It's what charges you. It's what gives you the power to do things like sleep and eat and walk and talk, breathe, grow hair. But much more significant than that, that energy is there for you, to empower you to do things, to think, to feel, to analyze, to wonder, to discover, to love, to become. And when we are about doing these types of things, we are using our power. But when we are about going through the motions of life and not really being engaged in these types of things, that is precisely when we are giving our power away. Eric Butterworth, in his book, Discover the Power Within You, wrote the following. There is obviously a great depth of splendor within us, but it must be unfolded through self-realization and self-discipline. There is no synthetic shortcut to the kingdom. That splendor that Eric Butterworth was talking about is our inborn, innate power. What makes our power so powerful is that it is divine. What makes our power so powerful is that it is the oneness in its fullness. And we frequently speak of God as being omnipotent. And in unity, we dare to speak of our own essence as being divine. In unity, we dare to speak that innately we are the great I am. Well, if that's the case, are we not also omnipotent? Are we also not without chains? Are we not also capable of absolutely, positively anything? And the answer is, yes, 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 we are. Unless we choose not to see it, or unless we choose not to be it. When our way shower Jesus stood before Pilate, Pilate is interrogating him and he says, "Don't you understand that I have the power to crucify you or the power to set you free?" And Jesus just very calmly looks him in the eye and says, You would have no power at all if it was not given to you by the Father. Jesus got it. Jesus understood that his power, Pilate's power, your power, my power, all stem from that one power, the one source, the Father. And so far too often we're looking for our power in the wrong place, and we turn to our egos. And when we turn to our egos, we're not gaining power. On the contrary, that's just another time when we're giving it away because we don't recognize what we're really and truly looking for and where it comes from. You know, when you talk about somebody selling his or her soul, this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is a classic giving away of power. It's an attempt on our part to give away what is eternally, intrinsically ours in exchange for something that is temporary and fleeting and illusionary. It's impossible to enter into the kingdom if you have given up your divine birthright. Power and freedom are two sides of the same coin. You can't ever really truly be free if you have given away your power. And you can't realize a life of harmony and health and prosperity and peace if you've given away your power and you're unwilling to flex your power muscle. It's been a long time since we discovered fire. And over the many centuries, we have learned to harness fire. And we've learned to harness all kinds of power. Water power, light power with lasers, solar power, electrical power, gas power, atomic power, and even nuclear power. And it's so important for us to keep in mind the real source of all of these different powers. Because none of them could be and none of them could ever be harnessed if it weren't for somebody or some somebody's tapping into divine mind and tapping into divine substance. And as incredibly spectacular as all of these powers are and can be and can be displayed, they pale in comparison to divine power and to divine essence. Divine power and divine essence. And that is exactly what you are. Jesus tells us that we need to be like little children. You know, the thing about little children is that they are always living in the moment. They are drinking and absorbing the fullness of life. For little children, there is nothing that is trivial. There is nothing that is insignificant. Everything that is before them at any given moment fills them with a sense of wonder, delivers to them a sense of discovery, curiosity, inquisitiveness. What's it all about? I want to know. And so children bless life by being fully engaged with it all of the time. We have reshaped and we have molded the world. Despite all of the garbage that goes on, we have reshaped and we have remolded the world in a very special, unique way by harnessing power. Imagine the ripple that we will send to throughout the entire universe when we truly, fully engage and harness the power of who and what we are at our essence. And we can't snap our fingers and have it occur for 7 billion people that occupy this planet. But each of us today is empowered to do it in our own little church family Each of us here today is empowered to do it within our own hearts, within our own minds, one step at a time. Imagine the ripple that will be sent through the universe when we finally fully exercise our incredible capacity, our incredible power to love.